Our next storyteller, Jennifer Johnston. I was trying to remember when I first met her. She used to lead trips up to the Kotzebue area, the Nana region, to teach kids how to cross-country ski, and my wife and I went on one in the, 2003, 2004 range. I believe that was the precursor to Ski Ku and Nana Nordic, and it's kind of taken off since then. But she's done a lot of giving back to the community like that. There was, and I was about to say how, which she does inspire me to get outside and do a lot of stuff. But while I was sitting there just now, I remembered that each night, so we'd go around to different schools in the area. I think we went to four different villages and teach. And so we'd be out in the freezing cold, all like minus, you know, trying to cross country ski in this. And then she would try to get everybody to do sit-ups at night. And like, I never do sit-ups, and I certainly wasn't going to do them after a long day out trying to teach kids to cross-country ski. But other than that, I'm really inspired by her. And I remember at least one occasion, perhaps more, when she was on the assembly, I would see her biking to one of the endless series of meetings that Anchorage assembly members go to, and I just was amazed to see her getting exercise on the way to what could have been a 3, 4, 5, or 6 hour meeting. Jennifer and her husband, Alan, moved to Fairbanks in 76 and then to Anchorage in 1988. Since then, Jennifer has worked as an outdoor educator, owned a small business, and most recently served 3 terms on the Anchorage Assembly, and then is now serving in her first term in the Alaska State House of Representatives. When she's not busy, she loves to hike, ski, and climb, but most of all, spend time with her 3 kids and 5 grandkids. Please welcome Jennifer Johnston.
Well, I have quite a few apologies to start out with a count into my 7 minutes. First of all, when Steve asked me to do this, I was sucked a lot of air because all I could think of are the number of stories other people would tell about going out with me and how I'd say it's just around the corner, just over the hill, we're almost there. That was the peak. And then I also, trying to do this 7 minutes, I have a whole bunch of funny stories go along with this, but I had to cut them all out. So I apologize. As Steve said, I've been able to experience a lot, and one of my most favorite things has been skiing up north. And that all started in 1997 with Norman Vaughn's first serum run. And I'm not sure if all of you know of or ever heard of Norman Vaughn, but Norman Vaughn drove dogs in Admiral Byrd's first expedition in Antarctica. And he moved to Alaska full-time and when he was over 70 years old to mush in the Iditarod. Well, the Iditarod was kind of getting tired of Norman, and they kind of ruled them out. They had 3 rules that were not Norman-friendly. One was you could no longer accept the hospitality of people in the villages, and he liked eating and sleeping in their homes. The other, you couldn't have outside help at the checkpoints, and Norman was in his 90s at that point, and he really needed the outside help. And the last rule was the Norman Vaughn rule, that if you're going too slow and it was a risk to the rest of the race, then you could be scratched. But this didn't bother Norman. He created his own adventure, and what it was a serum run, and he went the original route, which was Nenana to Nome. And what he was going to do is he's going to have dog sleds and snow machines and all be self-contained. Well, Vern Tejas and I and our daughter Merrick decided to meet them in Unalakleet and do the coastal part of the Iditarod. Now, the other part of this was that Norman was going to go into the villages and speak at the schools and tell them of adventures, his adventures, and use that as a way to have them also dream big and dare to fail. If you knew Norman, those were his lines. And when Merrick caught up with him, she would go into the schools with him because she had her adventures, and at that point she was the youngest one to climb Denali. So they had their little dog and pony show. So our first day out of Unalakleet was a beautiful bluebird sky day and actually quite warm. And we didn't get going until about 10:30, and from Unalakleet to Shaktulik is 40 miles. Merrick was really struggling, and the snow was heavy. So luckily, a snow machine came along and gave her a ride to Shaktoluk. So there was Vern and I. And the beginning part, or most of the part of the 40 miles, is rolling hills out of Unalakleet. And talk about false peaks. You just think you're almost there, and then you're down again. And it was hot. By the time we got back down onto the ice, it was dark. And actually, Vern was... he was out of water, out of food, and he was not doing well. So I was real excited when we saw the lights and say, we're almost there. Well, it was Old Shaktoluk, and Old Shaktoluk's just a fish camp, and there's no one there. So I did something that I was not comfortable doing, but it was the best thing I could do, was I gave Vern all my everything I had, and I kept skiing into Shaktoluk. Luckily, it was only about 4 miles, and when I got there, the snow machiners were just taking off to go back to see what was happening. That night, the snow machiners were quite angry. They had signed up for dog sleds, but they hadn't signed up for three skiers, one being a 13-year-old. So Norman said, fine, he would take care of us. He had the snow machine. He and Merrick would go speak in the schools, and he'd bring her out to meet us wherever Vern and I were at that point. Vern and I could get an early start, and life was good. Well, Shaktoluk, we got out, Vern and I, 5:30, and walked out of the school, and it was a blazing, howling blizzard. I don't think we even got to the slough, and both of my goggles were frozen. So I ended up putting a grabber warmer or heater into one side to melt it so I could see out of that, and then I shifted to the other side and back and forth. I think we also went down the wrong slough, so we never saw a snow machine, never saw a dog team. The wind was howling. I had my red nylon suit on, so I was like Teletubby or Barney. And I, you know, there's not a lot of me, so I think I went back as much as I went forward. Finally, about, I guess, probably 10:30, 11, Norman and Merrick came along, and I got on that snow machine, and he took us to the shelter cabin and then got back and got Vern, and then he shuttled us to the bluff where we had some protection, and we skied into Koyuk. As we skied into Koyuk, the weather was breaking, and there were a lot of healthy, happy kids skiing, and it was a beautiful sight. And I'm not sure if any of you know John Miles, but John Miles was a teacher in Koyuk, and he and a number of other teachers in the 80s had started a biathlon program up there, and a very robust one. And this is what we saw in each village, where a lot of happy, healthy kids skiing, and it was a great program. Next morning, Vern and I got up at 5:30, and it was just a crystal clear day, dark at 5:30. That was the year that the Hales-Bogg comet, and it was a beautiful tail, almost a full moon, and actually the aurora was just doing whipping in the skies. And the most magical part was that the only thing that broke the stillness was our skis on the snow. So we made it to Nome. We had a lovely time. Our days were 5:30, ski, kids greeting us, Merrick playing at night, enjoying the hospitality of a lot of nice people. But when I tell you I've skied from Unalakleet to Nome, I really haven't. As you know, I didn't ski the 50 miles to Koyuk. I did it what I call the Cadillac version. I didn't have to carry my shelter or my food, just my survival gear. But I did get to know the trail intimately. I got to meet a lot of wonderful people, and I had those magical mornings where the stillness was broken by my skis on the snow.